Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful in advance to those of you who will join us tonight and appreciative for those who have joined us over the years. All right, so tonight we begin understanding that on Tuesday during our dialogue, we had some pretty good conversation, and we agreed that there are many resources and opportunities that often go unused because of a lack of knowledge about them. Furthermore, a remedy to much of the frustration that we see in America today is being proactive and involved in self-guided production. This is true for both of America's sons, if you will, the so-called black man and the so-called white man. We're all brothers here. And when we are engaged in meaningful activities, it can lead to robust dialogue and even a little bit more love and trust and respect and so forth and so on. So tonight, we're going to talk from the topic, how to conduct race relations in America. This is part two. And now we're talking about proaction and things we can do. And let me just say that I don't mean to suggest that the suggestions I offer tonight are all-inclusive, are the only things that would be a magic bullet. However, some things we can do. And if you have some great ideas, thoughts, please share them with us here. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. If you're new to the show, let me just explain. We start with a brief monologue, and that allows me to give some context to what we're speaking of, so we can keep some structure in our listening audience and be able to be informed, and we won't just have a lot of loose rhetoric and what have you. And that being said, I realize I don't have all the answers, but as your host, we strive to create a platform and a forum by which good, wholesome information can go forth. Try to eliminate those chances of people just saying things without any substance to them or point a finger at anyone. That's not what we're about here at Talk Street. But nonetheless, we get right into it. Can you believe it's July the 15th, 2021 already? My goodness, the month is almost gone now. How to conduct race relations in America, part two. Now we're talking about proaction. Genesis, the sixth chapter and verse 7, reads like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Very simply, the text in third suggests, admonish us to think about the fact that whatever we put in, that's what we're likely to get back in return. And the energy, the drive, the creativity, and the frustration that a lot of our young brothers and sisters, and I want to emphasize again, not just African-Americans, you know that's been a focus of ours, but we've seen in recent times that there were other ethnicities that were involved and really want to make some change, some substantive change, particularly for their generation. Well, what you put in is what we get out. So that should set us on a particular course, okay? And so the text is relevant to where we're going. Now, I offered yesterday that in the interest of improving these relations, we should submit to five things. We should consider five things. And we had a caller join us late in the conversation. Glad that he can join us tonight, and we'll provide him opportunity to really intimate his position there, which he laid some pretty good things on the floor, I thought. But five things in particular, and then what I want to talk about, as I promised, and we're going to extend on this next week to get some other, lay out some particular resources where you can find some of these things. And that is some ideas about some small business enterprise, some things that are can be economically productive. And you don't necessarily have to have a PhD to do these, a master's degree, a bachelor's degree, right? May require some training, some focus, and that's good. And that keeps you away from folly, right, and wasting time and so forth. But nonetheless, the first thing is, I suggested the other night that we should acknowledge and recognize people are not measured by their skin color. They're not even measured by hearsay, but by their individual character, right? Even though they're challenged, they're not measured by maybe falling and having to get up, but they're measured by having the will and the desire to start over again and to make improvements. That's what we should acknowledge, irregardless of where we come from, what our social orientation is. Forgiveness. I know that a lot of people have been hurt, a lot of different places, scenarios. A lot has happened. But guess what, brothers and sisters? When we can bring ourselves to forgive, what does that word forgive mean? Listen to the prefix, to for, to let go, to put ahead of your own hurt and pain in order to absorb someone else of whatever guilt they may have or responsibility they may have toward your hurt and pain. You got to be big enough to do that. Showing respect, right? It doesn't matter what they do. Now, there are certain things that are respectful for all of us in a shared community, in a public sphere or place, right? And if, when we can respect one another's space and ideas and do that collectively, we can get along. And then educating. It's important that we teach our children the truth. Not necessarily what we want to be, but what is, what is validated through history, through fact, through artifacts that can be traced. And then to take that information and put it to action or implement. Those are the five things that I suggested the other day. And we'll kind of go from there. And we're going to first few minutes or so, I'm going to wrap up our money law here very soon, but the first few minutes you want to open up the phone line to kind of finish up what we started the other day relative to race relations and some of this conversation of these five things, essentially what we were looking at. But before I do that, let me offer some things to you. Here's some ideas of some profitable businesses. What we see over the last two decades or better is a rise in technology. Interesting, right? Many of these profitable businesses fall under the realm of online ideas. Young people online anyway, right? Channel your energy. Use your time constructively to find out how you can make it work for you, right? And at the end of the day, you can walk away saying that this is something I do well anyway, but I only use my intellect to make it profitable for me, make it fungible, right? And that's all we're really saying. Well, one of them, not necessarily online, but auto repair, right? You got some skills with your hand, you got good motor skills, you're a kinetic person. You might consider mobile auto repair services, right? This is one of the most profitable ideas. And watch the word mobile. That means you don't have a fixed location, a shop where there's a lot of overhead, but you have a skill set and you have tools that will allow you to move around from place to place and to do things like oil change, refill certain fuses, swapping people's batteries for them, right? Headlight repair, right? Little small thing. You understand what I'm saying? This will position you. Now, of course, you got to market yourself, and there's more to it. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to get started in just a few minutes, right? I'm just laying out some ideas. Now, the other night, one of our callers was very adamant about agricultural, the agriculture industry. And someone else said, well, that's not the only thing, which is so true, right? There's some other things that they can do, but that is indeed a area where there are opportunities as well. But you see, beloved, if we could focus our attention on substantive things in conversation and dialogue, we wouldn't have time for a lot of frolic to be mad because we're busy, right? So I was talking about auto repair, food trucks thing now. Now, it does require for you to follow city ordinances and things of that nature and know what you're doing. But you can start a food truck by hitting the road and parking yourself with local events at farmers markets, right, in your town square if you got one, and basically keeping up with various social gatherings once you got your permit and you got everything lined up, okay? But it's not something that takes a whole lot of money. It does take some dedication, some planning, right? But you can be profitable for it. And this is something that people, there's a demand for. Car wash service. I see that more and more people are tapping into that, right? They have machinery and apparatus that will allow you to move around. You're not in a fixed location. You can hook it up to a trailer sort. Wash people's cars. Detail them. I've had it done myself. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Wherever there's a demand, you supply. And that's not something you got to have a major degree or college degree or anything with. You all know that my profession is education. I was a bivocational pastor, but also education is my background, right, by training. And I encourage education. But I want to be fair to say that even if you have not finished a formal trade or school or college or a junior college or 2 years, that there are still things that you can do in real life experience. Okay? I talked about car wash, electronic repairs. If you got, a lot of people got those skill sets, right? And I would encourage you to go and go for some of the certification programs in various cities, right? That will allow you to be certified to repair, which is nothing but small things, to help people with the overhead, to keep down overhead and costs and so forth, or working with a company, right? Fixing people's broken screens on their iPhones. you see what I'm talking about? Little small things. I'm not talking about anything grand or big. IT support. Again, what we see is that there are a lot of young folk in particular, and elderly people, I ain't trying to knock you out, but listen, we had our turn already. Let's empower these young folk. Let's encourage them. Let's motivate them. IT support, you're already using these things. Focus yourself on cornering a particular aspect of it and promoting yourself in regards to that, you know? That's a good thing to do. That's a profitable thing. Being a personal trainer. If you like working out and things, you're athletic and what have you, that's not something that's too hard for you to do. Doesn't cost a whole lot of money to get started doing it. Now, I don't want to suggest that you can just jump in these things and not do some studying and some work. In fact, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But these are things that are not out of reach for you. That's the point I'm trying to say. These are not outside of reality or outside of your reach. These are attainable goals, things that you can do. Now, my daughter, my wife and I, we sent her to college and things of that nature, and we thought she was going to go in the health profession and be a nurse or a doctor. And we don't know, that may happen. But my point in saying that is she is doing quite well and have started her own business as a doula, right? Newborn and post-pregnancy service is what she provides. And I was in the doctor's office waiting on my doctor's appointment. I was reading about it, and I was just, wow, man, this is something. This is amazing. I didn't realize that was such a big industry. It may not be for everybody, but there are people who are good with children, who love doing that type of thing, and a lot of young people are not interested in starting families right. Perfect opportunity for you to take your love and affection for children and channel it in a way that is profitable for you. You see what I mean? All right. Enriching activities with children, starting in churches or places like that or community centers, and setting it up to where you can go in and do tutoring or helping children learn how to swim, yoga, other types of skill sets that help manage children, particularly after school hours. There's a tremendous need for that as well for people that work and need someone to watch their children. And these are opportunities, basically, that one can do that doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Again, graphic design, another big area. There are people that go to school for this, but there are people that are very handy with Photoshop and other forms of graphic designs and what have you. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that these are opportunities that are available. Social media, managing people's social media accounts for them. I sell insurance, and we have somebody that come in, and that's what they do for us. That's an opportunity, yet again, for individuals to come in and to fill a void, a need that is there, a very clear-cut need, you know? And again, at the end of the day, somebody's got to do it, right? Why not you? And lastly, I'll just talk about being a virtual assistant, managing people's phone calls, helping them with their scheduling, travels, and things of that nature. You can position yourself with a laptop, internet connection to have a very profitable business. Of course, you got to be on point and things of that nature. But these are things that you can do. Here's some business ventures for starters in the agricultural industry. And this is what the caller was making reference to the other day. Did you know that about $13.2 million a year is made doing landscaping? Yeah. Cutting people grass, trimming their hedges, putting out mulch and things of that nature, beautifying their yards. A lot of money. Don't require a degree. And to my knowledge, it don't require any licensing or anything. But $13.2 million annually made in the industry. Organic farming. These are agricultural-based businesses. Things as simple as a rose farm. I mean, and I don't want to be too simple or too complex, but my point is that these are things that doesn't require a whole lot. It does require you to do some research, right? In fact, that goes into these next three things before I open up the phone lines here. I want to give you three considerations, though, when you start thinking about starting a business, because what the National Chamber of Commerce indicates is that within the first 3 to 5 years, they can make or break a business. And certain things you need to have in place to ensure your success, no matter what level your business is, okay? And when you do that, you want to do research. And that's what I was making reference to earlier, but not just jumping in, right? You want to research the market that you're in. And you want to be clear about who your competitors are. You understand what I'm saying? This helps you to have the edge for your expertise and to market yourself and distinguish yourself from your competition, right? You want to look at the feasibility of your venture that you are interested in and make sure that you don't drown in it, right? You don't put a lot of resources in it and they're not profitable for you. That's the work that you have to put in on the front end. Then two, you've got to organize and make yourself. Some people like to do it under the radar of the law and the state and so forth. But when you make yourself official, you establish yourself and you have credibility for your clientele, right? Choose a business structure and stick with that. Get your employment identification number, the EIN, right? Or establish a doing business as, it's called a DBA, with your name. Get your license. Register yourself with your local entity, your city and your state, right? And what that does, again, is it makes you official. When you place your cards and you market yourself, even though you don't have big overhead with a fixed location, a retail location, people can see that you're serious and they take you seriously. Then lastly, which is one of the things that you have to focus on, and that's finance. One way to do that is to subcontract. Don't necessarily start out trying to take on a huge thing, but find opportunities to subcontract where there's a demand for one aspect that's connected to another. And you may be able to fill the void, as I was talking about. You go in and help people manage their bookkeeping and things of that nature on a smaller scale. And some things you can do, calling for them, using your computer at home, so forth and so on. It helps the business meet a need, right? You can also finance yourself by, one suggestion is getting a business credit card, right? Just for your business and help build your business credit history. Once you get your EIN number and you get you a couple of accounts, they call your accounts receivable, basically you don't have to be any big bills. You pay off those bills and that establishes your payment history so they help your business. There are other ways through venture capitalists and investors that you can go after working capital. Sometimes people use their personal credit to help them do that. Now, so what are you saying, Dr.? I'm simply saying that these are some realistic things that young folks can do, and you don't necessarily have to have a degree. You don't have to have a whole lot of money. You know, most of us don't. You understand what I'm saying? I wish I'd have known this when I was really young. And the point here is that these are opportunities that, again, when young people are wondering where is mine, you know, what has happened with my opportunities? Why can't I prosper? You know what I mean? And what's in it for me? Then you're at that point. It looks like I am having some technical difficulties. A caller from 404-990. I'm going to call you back, okay? I'm going to have to restart my computer because it looks like we have just had some issues here. But if you just hang on with me, we will be right there with you, and we'll reboot again. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're on now, 657-383-0944. If you just bear with me, we'll get right to you. My computer had to reboot itself for some reason or other. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but nonetheless, if you're listening to us from the podcast call, I want to encourage you to give me a call back, and we will make sure that we catch you and get you in here. And anybody else that was following us on Facebook, if you could get with us, that would be great. Bear with me, and we'll be right back. All righty. It looks like we are back here on Talk Straight, and unfortunately, we had a little mix-up here where our some technical difficulty that caused us to have to reboot ourselves. So, but we're back. We're back. And you listen to Talk Straight, 657-383-0944. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we hope that you can join us there. We hope that our caller from California is able to find us again and will give us a shout back here. I do apologize again the little mishap there, but that was beyond my control, certainly beyond my control. And we're going to try to go back and get our live stream going back here via Facebook. You could join us there as well. And we appreciate you. We do appreciate each and every one of you and your patience. And your patience here. You go with the punch. That's kind of what we're talking about. That's what we're discussing right now in our topic, how to discuss or conduct race relations in America. Things happen. And oftentimes, there are things in our lives that we don't control, right, that we have little to no control over. But they take place. What we can control is how we respond to our challenges. Nothing else I can say to young folks that will be that. Don't allow challenge, test, difficulty to take you away from your opportunity to succeed at anything, you know, and know that despite any setbacks, as long as you're alive and you're capable of restarting, it's not over for you. It's not over for you. And that's the good news. That's the good news. There is a new opportunity for you. And in life, we find ourselves often making adjustments, you know. And I understand that if you hadn't been around very long, you may not fully understand or appreciate what it means to have to back up and make an adjustment. But we do sometimes. And guess what? If it doesn't kill us, it makes us stronger. It makes us stronger. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. And we hope that you can join us here. We're trying to reconnect back again with Facebook and our live stream, as well as our podcast platform there. I want to encourage our listening audience to come on back and join us here. We got cut off there for some reason or another. And we had a little shutdown. But that's all right. That's okay, too. We'll accept that as well. 657-383-0944. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our topic tonight, how to conduct race relations in America, part two. And what we're really talking about is pro-action. As we try to give our audience an opportunity to catch up with us again, what I will do is I'll go back and try and reiterate some of the things that we talked about in the monologue here and get us going here. So bear with me just for a second there. Good friends, again, let me put that number back out there. Give us a call, 657-383-0944. Give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Be happy to entertain your question there and/or comments there. And I think we're back with our Facebook live stream now, and we'll keep it going from there as far as we can. Let me see if we can give a caller a call back there that was with us there. right? So y'all bear with us. We're going to see if we can reach him there. The caller that called in earlier and see if we can get him into
3-4-9-9-6-4-4-8-1 is not available. The mailbox is full.
All right, look like we missed him there, but we'll hopefully they'll give us a call back here. So, and one of the things that I said that I would do is to just go back as we try to reconnect with our listening audience and to reiterate some of the things that we covered there. What we were doing, what I was doing simply is offering some low-expense entrepreneurial ventures that individuals can involve themselves in. And I was making the case that this can be done to manage your creativity, your ideas, your frustration, anxiety, right, by working on something that is manageable for you. And particularly we're talking about young people. Looking at how you can take resources, skill sets, right, that you have and channel those things into productivity for yourself. Now, nobody's going to give you anything. That's it. I can tell you, having lived in America all my life and having come from some pretty adverse circumstances in urban America, Chicago, Illinois, housing projects to be exact, that if you're not willing to put some work in for what you want, you know, you ain't nobody going to give you nothing. And if they do, you better watch over your back. Quite likely that you might lose it if you didn't work for it. You know, not everybody, many people tend not to appreciate it when it comes to free, right? And it's easier to make the choice that, hey, I don't need that. I don't need that. I can let it go because I didn't, you know, put much in it to get it. And but, again, the point here is that we have many excellent opportunities, and there are things that young people can do. I believe that they want guidance, they want structure, and they want some reassurance that as they try these things, even if you dropped out of school, let's say you got caught up and you wind up catching a charge or two. Maybe you spend a little time in jail or in prison. Not over for you, right? Yeah. You have an opportunity to even take that experience and to turn it into something. Kind of like the old adage, you take a lemon and you take sugar and get you a little water and make you some lemonade out of it. Makes for a good cold drink if you get some ice. And tasty anyway without ice, right? So we don't want to oversimplify anything, but the point here is that there are things that can be done. I started with the text in Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you put out, you can expect to come back. If you put little out, don't expect much to come back to you, right? But if you put out a good deal and you are wise about that and you are strategic, it's reasonable for you to expect some return on your investment, right? That's a reasonable expectation. You're going to have some in the end. Now, how wise is it to assume that things are just going to come your way automatically without any work, without any investment in it, and you ain't got to do nothing, but you're going to have the very best that life has to offer? That's not a good look, not a good look. Yes, and we tell our young people when they graduate high school, when they graduate college, you're the next generation, and you're going to be carrying the torch, right? The world belongs to you. and you're smart. Right? You're valuable. You should be respected. All those things are true. But it's also true that you have to put your work in. You can be the best person in the world, the smartest person in the world, and have a lot of things going for you. But if either you or I don't manage our business, we can lose it just as quickly as we got it. Right? 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ethan Bassett. You did experience a disconnection. Okay? And that's the explanation for the interruption that you've seen on our podcast platform as well as on the Facebook live stream. But if you're watching now, we're back. Our topic on this July 15, 2021 is how to conduct race relations in America, part two. And we're talking about proaction now. So that's where we are. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. I listed a few inexpensive opportunities, things that have been started, business that have been started and that can be started, right? And I'll just review them as we keep the phone lines open. 657-383-0944. Auto repair, right? A lot of good folk with good auto skills, right? And if you don't have formal certification behind it, it's always a good idea to go and get it, right? But you can change people's headlights, you know? You can change people's oil, you know how to. Fluids in there, refill the fluids in the car, or swap batteries out. You understand what I'm saying? Little small things like that. Formally structure yourself, though, to do that. Things like a food truck, you know? These are some things that you can do that are useful. Starting a food truck. We're back with a caller here, 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. I regret that we missed our call out of California who called, and we had a disconnection at 8112, so we kind of got thrown off here a little bit.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to talk. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
We're picking back up where we left off. You made the point that everybody is not interested in farming. That's a true point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are some great opportunities there, but everybody—that's not everybody's focus or interest. So I just tonight I brought about 10 different type of things that young people can make a profit in. Don't need a degree, don't need a lot of certification, formal training, and what have you. But there are things that you can position yourself to do that you might know how to do already. Follow what I'm saying? And it's things that people need. Things that people need. So that's the course of session right now. And listen, you don't, when you're doing these things, 12, guess what you don't have time to be doing?
What?
Being mad at anybody and wanting to fight and pointing the finger of blame because you're too busy handling your business.
True. Yes, I do.
What do you think about
it? Yeah, if you stay busy enough doing constructive things, there's hardly much room left for destruction, even within yourself.
That's true. That's true. And you know what else you do? You miss some of the foolishness people are saying and doing because you're too busy. You're distracted from that. You ain't even got time to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many young people get caught up in conflict from social media, Facebook or Instagram or some of these other things. And just imagine if you wasn't spending so much time on, you wouldn't even know what's going on.
But it's also amazing that as well as the young people, you got some fully middle-aged, grown, overgrown folks on there telling their whole daily stories every day. I don't get it, because it ain't your business what I'm doing in my crib.
That's the truth.
Unless I put it on live, then it becomes public knowledge. If I go live with something, you better believe it's a birthday or party or something for the kids or something.
Right. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to 615-3720. I believe I know who this is. Pastor Wallace.
Me too.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey,
Hey, Dad, how you doing, 8112?
I'm hanging in the midst of things, baby. I'm doing all right. All right, by the grace of God. Let me put that out there, too.
Yeah,
I'm do it by myself.
No, you got to have that more support. You
yes,
good?
Sir.
Yeah, that's all right. I was down here watching the young brothers do their thing down here on the court. They had me down here doing some training, and so they need some some input, so I thought I'd come down here and do what they asked me to do.
That's nice. You always helping out, you and Pastor Dockery. That's a beautiful thing to me. All those all haters out there that play like they supporting you, but I ain't no hater.
There's another one in there. Yeah, that's all right, but I appreciate that, knowing that, because they actually deserve it. They seeking information, they seeking knowledge, and so I thought it was fair to do that.
That was a beautiful thing, because there's so many people like Pastor Dockery was saying, they be talking and being disruptive on one end and trying to play like they're concerned on the other, and they're not. The proof is in the pudding. I don't care what you're doing. It speaks for itself.
Yeah.
No explanation required, because none necessary.
Yeah, that's true. And I got a couple of them down here. I got friends. I told them I had to get on my podcast. And they may want to say something. They say something like, you know, how grateful they are to know that they had somebody they can call on.
Yeah.
This young brother, he called on me and asked me what was I doing. He wanted to do a little something so he can better his game. And to think, I thought that was a plus. So you got anything you want to say to these people, my brother? Let them know that, you know, this is my podcast. I'm always Pastor Doctor. And this,
how y'all doing?
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing there? Doing good. How y'all doing?
All right.
Man, we good. We're glad to hear from you. We're happy to hear from you. Yeah, I called my pastor down here so I can work on my game, so I can get better on my what I play. I play 17U and I'm 16. I wanna better myself for the big kids older than me.
Good. Good. Well, that's good. Keep on doing that, man. We look forward to seeing you guys a little later on during the camp. So that's a good thing. Keep working at it.
Yes, sir. All right.
I'm heading
to work.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Listen, we got our caller back from 404-990, who we lost during our disconnection. And I do want to give them an opportunity, because I'm sorry that we missed them there. But we want to give them an opportunity to join it. Thank you for joining us, my friend. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
All right. Take care now.
All right.
Pastor Waller, hold tight then. Let's go to 404.
Okay, I'll hold.
Yeah. All right, 2320. Welcome to the Talk Space. I apologize for our disconnection there.
Oh, that's okay. I learned a lot. I said I was going to call back.
Okay, well, I would appreciate it. You know, we're always happy to have you there, and we appreciate that. And sometimes technology is your friend, and sometimes it's not.
I know about that technology. it it's a headache. I'm a family physician. It's a headache doing these electronic health records.
So
we
know
by technology, okay?
You know the story. Yes, ma'am. What we were really doing was explaining how one of the ways we can keep blacks and whites in good, healthy communication and respect to one another is if everybody's busy doing something productive. You know what I mean? I just think, callers online, that there are a lot of young folk who just don't know what to do with themselves and their time. And one of the reasons I know growing up in the streets of Chicago, one of the reasons we hung out on the streets because we lived in the housing project and we got tired of seeing those cinder block walls and we wanted to get out and do something. Yeah. So if we create these type of learning opportunities to tap into natural skills, right? I listed some different types of small businesses. You don't have to go out and try to do it big. You know, just do something that's successful. And as you grow, you get better. You get better. So 12, as I was saying, we were 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois, now we're just speaking earlier about the importance of recognizing that it's up to you, you know what I mean, to determine what your purpose is, what your focus is, and how you're going to conduct yourself in the world. Because you could do good or you can do bad. And guess what I found out, Pastor Wallace? You don't need no help to do bad. You can do that all by yourself. Have I got a witness?
That's not hard to do, brother, you know. Yeah, you can do bad by yourself real quick.
Real quick.
And you don't have to have no help. You know, if you're talking about doing bad. But any time you're seeking to do good, you know, sometimes you have to stand. If you got to stand all by yourself, man.
There's
nothing wrong with doing good and then offering someone else to help. You know, 8112 said it best when you're talking about some people just talk it. You never know. It may just help one somebody, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just one person. And that'd make it all worth it.
Right. And why is it, guys, Pastor Tess, you're talking about, what's the drive for people to want to be grand ghosts? For people who want to be grand, they want to do it so big and all at once. Help me with that. What makes folks want to, why aren't we happy with our best service, even if it's not on a grand scale? What is it about people?
Well, Brownie points, people want accolades unnecessarily, you know, you know, things like that. It's all about what are your motives? What are the motives of why you do what you do, you know?
Okay.
And if you're doing it to please God, I mean, that's, you know, not everybody is in it for that reason, you see? And that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because that have to be dealt with. And it's not for me to pinpoint who's doing it, but it's like when we play basketball, 8112, we had a thing called self-check. You know, where I ain't worried about you hitting the basket. You're going to check your own self. You know, that type of thing. You know, in other words, I'm going to give you a chance to prove yourself. And that means I don't have to check you hard. And so there are times when I don't have to check other people hard. They check themselves, and it gives me an understanding that they don't care. See? And if you cared, I mean, it's like if someone cared about me, why shouldn't I be able to care about someone else? And I guess that's probably what happened to me and why I'm so into reaching out, because someone cared about me. And, you know, so I understand if, you know, if someone else think that no one deserves their assistance, then that's what they'll carry out. That's called self-check. I don't have to try to make you do anything. I'm already aware now. I've been tuned in long enough to know. Some people just don't care.
Yeah, that's true. So, Pastor, let me ask if it's okay, 2320. What do you think? What is it that drives? Now, sometimes people, they're afraid to launch an endeavor because they're afraid they're not going to be successful. And here's the crazy part about it. You've never done it before, so you don't know you're not going to be successful, right? And you don't know you're going to be successful, but you'll never know until you try. Nothing beats a failure but a try, right? So, Doc, what is it about, in your experience, after dealing with human behavior and treating people, what do you think is one of the motivating forces behind people saying, no, hang on, I don't know, I don't want to try that because, that may not work, and never give themselves an opportunity?
Well, one thing.
Go ahead.
I know parents need to start with their children, even at the point when they're even 7 years old, and having them like pick up their clothes or doing a little show around the house to maybe get a dollar a quarter. What I have witnessed, unfortunately, the last 5 years, and that it's very disturbing when we see 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds stealing cars, doing this, shooting people, doing different things like that. And yeah. I'm not going to put the fault on it's in every race, but it doesn't have to be someone with two parents in the household. But the kids need guidance. They need guidance.
Absolutely.
And this is what is lacking from our society. Mm-hmm. As I take care of patients and do my readings. And also in high school, and let me just go back when, when I was growing up, my mother had a nursery school, and I had to help out even when I was in seventh grade. When I got home from school, I went over and helped out a little bit, and that was kind of my little spending money. And in 12th grade, in ninth grade, I knew I wanted to become a physician. And so my father, guided me by putting me in a private school where I could get the necessary course I needed. But in 12th grade, he told me, he said, well, I'm going to pay your tuition, room and board, but you're going to have to do the rest, books, et cetera, that stuff, spending money. So I had a job at JCPenney, so after school. And so my point is some of the things that you were mentioning at the very beginning are things that high school kids could do. Cut yards, wash cars.
It's
not any guidance. They're just, to me, they're just running around, and I live in Canton, Georgia, Cherokee County, but 30 miles north of Atlanta, and it's gotten so bad in the Atlanta area, and maybe it's in all state. Many big cities, I'll say that, but it's so terrible that people are afraid to go there. That they shoot people. They don't have anything to do. Where are the parents? That's what I want to know. From the news today, a 12-year-old left home with a boyfriend in Florida. A 12-year-old. When my daughter's 12 years old, I'm gonna know where you are all the time.
Because I'm a taxpayer.
Right, and I'll go back. Even raising my children. They, for example, I never knew my son was in 10th grade in the summertime. He had a job bagging groceries, okay? That was his finish. Yeah, bagging groceries, cutting the yard. So, and you know, I feel that it first starts with the parent at the home. It could be a grandmother or guidance from somebody in the family.
Sure.
And then I see a lack of, and I don't want to talk about the school system. I don't know too much about that. I try to keep up with some. But I see, are there guidance counselors in schools now that are trying to help these kids decide everybody is not college material?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And
everybody is not college material. And one of my things that I try to do very hard is trying to recruit more people to go into medicine, school, but you have to take certain courses. So when I have parents telling me, well, I want my child to go to medical school, but I don't want them to take algebra, geometry. Well, you know what, they have to take calculus in college, so they don't have geometry. And those said, your child's not going to get in medical school. I just be very honest with them. And so it all starts with, you know, parents, guidance counselors. And like I said before, your show one time, you know, churches, pastors doing things.
Absolutely.
A lot of elected officials need to have activities going on in the summertime. In certain communities, you see this. In some, you don't.
Parents need to be,
this lesson would say, they need to be realistic with their child. You know, if your child is in 7th, 8th grade and they are having trouble reading or they can't get successful through algebra, you know, be realistic with your child. You know, you're probably not going to be able to maybe say go to engineering school or medical school. But then this country puts so much, you see so much about sports, athletes.
Yeah.
And so the emphasis is put on that and the money that they make, but very few are going to get into major leagues. And I blame parents. I tell parents too, they go buy these Air Jordan shoes. I don't care what Air Jordan, it always been the shoes. That's the one I know the name, nothing against Jordan, okay? $400 pair of shoes. Well, I've never had a $400 pair of shoes, okay? So
that's what I'm talking about, Doctor.
Yeah, it starts instilling in them. Okay, well, I have to live this high lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to have some shoes on $400. And I'm sorry, what has happened with, I'm going to tell you, the last people they want to pair the positions, okay? Let me tell you, so we had to step out and learn some business things because we have big overhead. That's what people don't understand. We have big overhead. You know, we can have just a little small office. We have malpractice, medical licenses. You know, I can talk to someone in 10, 15 minutes, and I don't know what's wrong with them. But anyway, that's a whole different subject. But I go into what I said. That's all I'm going to say about that because I'm very passionate. I'm very upset about the crime that I see with these young kids, 13, 15, 16, 18 years old, and they're already in the criminal justice system.
Right. And if I might, Doc, that's what happens. It's easy to point the finger to say it's about race, when really it's about focusing on behavior and managing your time, right, and keeping yourself engaged in productive activities. You see what I mean?
I took my kids, and so we went to the library. That's free. The playground, that was free.
Yeah.
When I first got married, we were, you know, now this, we had kids soon, but I found agencies that were free to take them to.
Okay? I get what you're saying.
But now these kids want Universal Studio, Disneyland, that's $100. You know?
Because the parents
go along with all that. They're telling them, and this, unfortunately, this is where a lot of people with the stimulus stuff and money,
I ain't gonna worry about it. God still be taking care of me. It's all right.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't pay rent, and now they're upset they get infected. Well, I don't understand if you're gonna go on a vacation and not pay your rent. I understand that.
Well, and so, and that's the point we're trying to talk about in terms of proaction, right? Changing the way we view things and the way we behave. This can go a long ways because, as I said the other day, you know, if you can't get along with yourself, how do you expect to get along with someone of another culture, orientation, ethnicity? I hate to use race, but for the lack of a better phrase, another race, if you can't get along with yourself. And there's a reason why so many of us are angry with ourselves, angry with our parents, angry with our life, angry with society. You understand what I'm saying? But yet we expect them to be peaceful with other people. And that's a still legitimate concern. And, you know, when we're able to identify these things, acknowledge it, we can change some things. And that's for whites and blacks. That's for whites and blacks.
May I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
You said if you are angry with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people get angry with themselves because I think I'm not as bright as all y'all, but I have my knowledge.
Come on.
A lot of times certain ones get angry with themselves, I think, because of circumstances that they put themselves in, number one.
True.
Number two, then when you get out there and the people that's supposed to be of authority, I figure, especially with these children, you're supposed to be able to go to them, trust them, and then some of them, not all of them, mind you, turn their back.
Okay.
Because they're doing things they have no business doing. Maybe they're angry with themselves as well. But I want to try to make a suggestion, Pastor Dockery, that, you know, kids of our culture, they love music.
Yeah.
I send a challenge out there because what if we could, some of us could get together and start challenging them one against another to, a lot of them like to dance, a lot of them like to rap, and the violent rap is out the question because that promotes nonsense, however.
Okay.
But they can rap in a different way and they can challenge each other. This young man in Peoria, he created this boxing thing, and it's going large.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And he might not even thought that could happen. So it came to my mind, a lot of young girls, they like to sing.
Yeah.
And a lot of young guys, they like to, as they call it, chop it up. Yeah. And so they could rap, but they can't use violence. When I was DJing years ago, what I did was if the 21 and over, 21, you had to be 21, to get in where I was at. When they came in, I would play your tape or your CD only if it is not violent. And it was, to my surprise, they were bringing them in.
Really? Wow.
Yes, sir. And that told me that all the younger people, they loved, a lot of them grew up on older music, you know, and then they got their own freestyle of music. You can even do it with the microphone. Grab it. That's what I did. Pick the mic up and voice your whatever it is without anger. Music is a great source of that, I think. And so what if we try something like that? Because a lot of the other things have failed.
Yeah. You know, anything that works well, anything that works. I didn't know you used to drop them beats, though. I didn't even know that about you. You know what I mean?
I dropped some music, sir. I dropped the old school music on them, and it turned to the younger crowd coming in and hanging out with Miss D. And what happened?
Okay.
But it worked, and I was shocked. I had people in the street like, I'm like, I don't touch people's hand, but I had to shake their hand because they were being nice.
Well, now, let me say this. Well,
we tried some of this. Let's try, maybe we could just try it at a one step at a time.
Got you. I'm going to bring you to St. Louis. St. Louis to join us. I'll be right with St. Louis this month. Some years ago, I was on a local radio station here and had somewhat of a look with some of my brother clergy about a growing practice of having dance and incorporating what they call gospel rap in the liturgy of the church and the service. And what I said was, I see what you're trying to do, but you must be careful that you don't allow that to hijack your real purpose, right? And you miss the opportunity to teach young folk the importance of their spirituality because raps takes over. And all these other secular influences become the dominant. That's the only reason they're there is because you provide a platform for them. It's kind of like sports. And, you know, Pastor Wall and I talked about this. Sports has its place for discipline and things of that nature. But if there's not balance, then there are other skill sets that potentially can help one provide a living for themselves, establish themselves with economic stability and so forth and so on. And you miss out on that if you don't have the balance. Because everybody's not going to go to pro football or basketball or baseball.
Right.
Just to happen. You know?
Right.
And that's why I began by laying out a few small level businesses that you can start. I just indicated 10 of them. And, you know, three things that I pointed out that you must consider is think about what you want to do. Identify it. Establish yourself formally as a business. And make sure that you have the funding and the resources to sustain yourself. So let me welcome St. Louis. We're talking somewhat of an extension, part two of our discussion about race relations, but we're talking about being proactive. And St. Louis, in the monologue, I strive to make the point that particularly when young folk are engaged in productive activities that will provide for them, they don't really have time to point a finger at one race or another, black or white. Question or comment?
Well, that's a good point that you make. And good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yeah, because if you have, and it's concentrated effort, concentrated on one thing, any one thing, you don't have much time for anything else.
You're right.
So that should be an object. But I have kind of negative thoughts on letting young people determine what they want to get involved in, because I'll tell you why. Because too many times they're going to take the easy road out and also be influenced by peers who already took the easy road out.
I see.
And that's something that parents and family, it goes back to the tried, true, and proved method of raising young people.
Okay.
And it goes back to family. It has to start early. You can't wait till it start late, because if you wait till it start late, then who have filled in all those positions between early and late? And now you got to overcome that, which is very difficult to do, if not literally impossible.
I think I might agree with a position there that young people have to be appropriately challenged. And not allowed to just decide what they're going to do, as you said. Because, you know, if you gave me the option between eating Brussels sprouts or broccoli and ice cream, I'm eating ice cream and cookies 7 days a week, three times on Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? But I think, is that what you're suggesting there, St. Louis, that there's a need to just push them, challenge them a little bit? Is that what
you have to do that. And like the lady, the doctor said, and I appreciate her trying to get more young people involved in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I used to try to get them involved in the Cuban medical program, which is 7 years of doctor training. All one has to do is prerequisite, and those are being astute in inorganic sciences. But it's free.
Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, it just didn't work out very well. It seemed like everyone else was involved in it. You know, Castro came to Riverside Church there in New York back in 2005 and made the announcement that they would provide the opportunity for those coming out of disadvantaged communities to attend their school for free.
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, now, so I want to, let me ask you all this.
Excuse me, like 2 tiers down, and then you brawl.
I got to brawl.
I'm caught my food has to be right.
Somebody else to come to
this is it. After I do that, I'll do 30 minutes on one side, 30 on the other.
Okay, there we go. When you think about it, and you kind of alluded to this, 12, when you think about it, really, if there is no basis for...
I'm listening.
Okay, if there's no basis for an individual to engage in an activity or a direction, and I guess what I'm really talking about is if you don't have a purpose for it, it's easy for you to be distracted and to go on somewhere else if you don't have an intention, purpose for that thing. And maybe y'all can help me. How do you get young people? And again, when we're talking about race relations, talking about black and white typically, and sometimes people are mad at Hispanics and whatever. But when you really get down to the nitty gritty, irregardless of what your skin color looks like, if you're determined in a certain purpose, and y'all help me with this, what is going to stop you from succeeding?
You're going to stop you. Because if your determination and you're hungry, if you hungry enough, you hungry, you want to get fed.
Right.
And if you want to get fed, that determination is going to help feed you.
Because
when you fall down, you're going to have the determination and you will find the will to get back up, even though yet and still you may be discouraged.
I struggle with it
sometimes, even as a grown woman.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But,
go ahead, Doc.
That's excellent what you just said. And I want to expand that a little bit. It's mind-boggling to me that if a child is in a parent's home, let me just say my two. Okay. You and our house, you live in free rent, because you ninth grade, seventh grade, free rent,
free food,
all this.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, we're going to sit down and talk about some choices of things you're going to do in the summer, but you're going to do something. Because one thing we told our kids, you had three choices when we told them around middle school. Three choices after high school. Okay, you can go to military, that's fine. Nothing's wrong with that.
Okay.
You can go to college, stay that summer, go to college, but you want to work some of your save money, okay. Or else if you don't want to do those two things, you're going to get out our house after high school and go live on your job in your place. So my point is, it's like we just let the kids make the decisions. And then what gets me is I see a lot of grown people, 25, 30 years old, still living home, and mom and dad is taking care of everything. They're not working. And the parents are like, well, I just don't know what to do with them, and they're not working. And I'm going to say, you have created this situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, I'm a family physician, so I take care of all age. I also take care of opiate addiction. And that's a whole nother topic. But I agree with what the lady said. And with kids, you need to sit down and talk with them. But when they're much younger, this is one thing I just don't really agree with when they either talking about spanking a little bit, tapping on the hands or something.
Yeah.
When they're young and understand what you have done is wrong.
Yes.
Okay, I see 3- and 4-year-olds used to come to my office and parents would tell them something, they'll tell them no. I'm not going to talk back to them. And then, then they're playing with the equipment. I just sort of tell them, no, you can't play with that.
That's
that
right.
Costs money. You cannot break it. So it's like the parents are afraid to tell these kids.
Ain't that the truth?
And this stuff by time out. If a child knows they've done something wrong and they go in time out, that's not a punishment to me. I mean,
it's really not. So they're going to look you and dead in your face. You're right. I believe.
And you're right. You know, so it's just that the whole concept is like, I don't know where I grew up. You did something wrong at school, you got a little spanking.
And then
the teacher would tell mama, and then when you got home, mom and dad are going to spank you too, and you're going to get punished. Okay, then? So I just don't understand some of the rearing, raising these young kids. And I kind of said, what is a 15-year-old doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Thank you.
Car?
Thank
killing
you.
People at motel. I'm trying to understand. Still haven't found a solution, and I don't know. Maybe you pass it
let me,
help me out.
No, this is talk straight, so let me just talk straight. It doesn't matter who it is. If you got a 15-year-old outside at 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning, doing anything, clearly they're not supervised. And by law, it's one person or individual, and that's their custodial parent that's responsible for supervising it. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
That is said. I'm sorry before I forget.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
In the society of a lot of urban Americas consist of many cultures. However, there's a lot of parents that's got 15-year-olders that don't know how to parent.
That's wild.
And they're so busy doing them, they technically, I'm not going to say they don't love their children. A lot of people are easily confused as hell. And how you gonna teach somebody when you confuse yourself or you strung out or you doing so much? You can do what you want to do as long as you do it with structure.
I think
and
you
bring your kids up is one of them things that they need. And I told my kids I started out as a young parent, but I had the rules that my mother set in her home.
Wow.
And you didn't break them, like the doctor said, those were some rules that you did not break, and when you broke them, you regretted that you ever did it, because she's going to put the wrath of God down on your head almost to make sure you follow them rules, and that's just what I feel about that.
Well, now, can I say this?
Yes, sir.
I didn't have to use corporal punishment on my children, because at an early age, my wife and I consciously established our voice of authority and their desire for our affirmation to all of the activities that they engaged in. We were conscious about that. You follow what I'm saying? And I like what you're saying there.
Children had their mother and their father both in church, one's in the medical field, in the home with them. Don't make y'all perfect, but they had a different kind of structure than a lot of kids didn't have. I was in a single family home, but I had a good mother that was raised in church. And she taught us the right way, the best she knew to go. which laid, as I was talking about, that foundation from the bottom to build that home. She built her home.
Yes.
And she did it with all them children she had. But she did what great job, and as I look back being middle-aged myself, I don't know how the heck she did it. But she done it. I know how she did it now, but I didn't understand then. Some you got to be more firmer with, and some you got to be stronger with. And they may not understand, but if they got children, as they grow to raise their children, yes, structure is very, very vital.
Like
a single mother or a single father can't raise their children without the other half. Yes, you can. My mama did it. For the most part, they turned out all right. You know, ain't nobody perfect.
I got you.
Trying to see them warning signs. There are red flags involved in every situation.
Well, you're making the point that I was trying to make. That is how vital it is, whether you're a single parent or two parents, to establish discipline and structure for your children. And I know that that's a challenge for two parents. Somebody was getting somebody's background noise.
Okay.
I'm not sure. If everybody can kind of take notice of whatever's around.
Yes, sir.
But the point is that when you make it a point, you're deliberate about providing structure and discipline for your children, they will avoid certain pitfalls.
That's right.
There's no way in the world they're going to be outside or they're going to be doing anything other than you design for them when you control their time, when you manage their time, when you dictate their activity. There's no way in the world they can be there, right?
We couldn't be outside at 12 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying.
Unless I snuck out. Sometimes kids do sneak out of house. Parents sleep tight.
I did that too.
Listen,
12.
You wait till they go to sleep, and you know they good sleep, snoring and everything. Then you go out to work.
12, listen. My brother and I took three sheets, tied one end to the steel bunk bed in our project room, and threw the other one down a two-story window and clammed down so we can get outside. You understand what I'm saying? So I get what you're saying. My point is when there is a presence of discipline and focus for children, you can keep them away from those type of things. It's not about you being black or white.
That's right.
It's about the deliberate direction of parenting and discipline and order and structure for them. And if there's nothing else I can say to anyone, particularly the young people, that would be make sure that you're not opposed to proper guidance, instruction, and discipline for yourself. Even if you had a rough life, when you change your course, and I was trying to make the point earlier that and this can happen to anybody's children. For my children, they apply the same restraint, the same standards and requirements on themselves that my wife and I require for them. Now, I was supposed to have been dead on 47th and Drexel in Chicago almost 40 years ago. I was supposed to have been gone because I was hothead out in the street. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I know how it can be. My point is, it was intentional about breaking that cycle. And that's all I'm trying to say. It can happen.
Sometimes you can be placed in certain situations where you won't be dead and you thought you were dead, and God kept you alive for his own purposes to show you another
truth. That's right.
We talked to parents, and I'm gonna have to get off because had a patient call. But anyway, but the other concern physicians are having we've seen all these killings and drugs and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel some of these judges who make these decisions to, they go in, they've done something, and then they let them out the next day without any type of
accountability,
type intervention.
Right.
To
right.
make, it's like, and I know this is happening in the juvenile centers and some of them down in Metro Atlanta. So someone wanted me to work in one of the places. And I said, well, what do you do? Well, someone comes in that they have committed a minor crime, whatever. He said, okay, well, we check them out, do a physical, and then we put them back. We release them. They don't go to jail. I said, they don't go to jail. They don't get any type of intervention, behavior intervention, or go before the judge or something. So that's what's going on.
Yeah.
They are not being, and so I'm really, you know, I'm going to say not me, but many physicians, we've written letters. I have not. We've kind of divided up different things because there's just a lot going on now, okay? And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, everybody's tired of COVID. We're tired of COVID, okay? But we have other things to take care of besides COVID. We're tired of these shootings on the weekend. We're tired of people, cars being stolen. They beat up nurses. They steal doctors' car. Yeah. Okay, they beat up, you know, the nurse here in Nashville got shot, headed to the hospital down here in Nashville Lake. They steal cars for employees at Vanderbilt Hospital. They came into guard. A 15-year-old stole an employee's car at the hospital. So, you know, so the thing is, you know, we started doing telemedicine, you know, during COVID, because, you know, we have families, too. So that cut down our expenses. But the point is, physicians, we don't like to get in politics. We don't have time for all of that. We have a lot going on. Mm. But we had to. I mean, you know, when and that's the culture that, so we wrote letters to judges, attorney generals in some of these states. January 20th, our American Academy of Family Physician, our president from South Carolina, where I went to medical school, she had a letter up to Biden on his desk that this stuff about not paying physicians and decreasing this, and we have all these decisions. We didn't get any help during COVID, okay? So my point is, you know, we want politics to stay out of health care, okay? They basically do that, but these judges need to step up to the plate and trying to I tell you, there's one right here in Nashville with juvenile. I had to tell her, I said, you just put, they come down in your court, you let them back out. You haven't done any type of intervention to help these kids.
So
that's the last thing I'm going to say. And y'all have a good evening. And
Thank you,
I'm going to leave all of that to y'all. All I'm doing is trying to keep people alive, okay, the best way I can.
Ron Liner, I appreciate you.
That's all I can do right now because I got an early morning. Okay, I'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Good night,
darling. Bye-bye.
Join us. Well, a lot of truth there. What do you think about that, St. Louis? Any comment on that?
To do with them people. Chicago, they shot 795 in 2 days.
You're talking about Chicago people.
100
I know that. So 12, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 12. I think this is the point that he's making. They are more than any other city, the focus is on them for two reasons. And this is the honest God truth for two reasons. One, they're one of those places who advocated basically getting rid of law enforcement and law and order, right?
Chicago?
And yes. You didn't know that?
No.
Well,
yeah, Beetlejuice suggested that.
Huh? What do you say, St. Louis?
I said Beetlejuice suggested that.
Well, yeah, Beetlejuice.
You said Beetlejuice suggested that.
Yeah.
What does that mean, sir?
That's the mayor. That's her nickname.
Why would y'all call her Beetlejuice? She's not for the crime. She's trying to do what people do in authority, some of them. She's trying to go against crime. I follow her somewhat. And she's damn near killed her own self trying to make things stop.
She handcuffed all
her life and everything, from what I've seen. I know you can't always believe the news, but, hey, it is
that's
what it
right.
is.
Yeah, she handcuffed the police. And, you know, you got cities.
I mean, his tail might have needed handcuffs.
She had the, I'm talking about the police as far as reacting to the spill zone. You got places like out there in California, San Francisco, where people go in the stores, like, get a basket set up with $145 stuff, and they just walk out.
No, I'm not. That's stealing. I'm not for violence nor crimes, and I can't stress this enough. Even if you're going through the hardest times in your life, there's no excuse to tear down where you live and nobody else's where they live.
Right.
It's unfair.
Right.
It is unruly. It is unjust, and we need law and command in certain areas, all areas. But we also need people to keep in mind. I was talking about that trust. A lot of them have broken that trust of authority, and that's just a fact.
Well,
people are retaliating, but a lot of times the innocent people out there just trying to earn an honest buck and help society gets caught in the crossfire. That's fact.
Right. So 12.
You got
that was a fellow
people that was locked up for rioting and looting. They let them go.
Every time I look on Facebook now, I see my son that's deceased. Somebody up posted his picture on here. Why y'all keep putting that shit on? Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry, y'all.
That's okay.
Ooh, I'm acting out. Let me shut up. God, forgive me.
Go ahead. Take your time and finish your point.
Yeah, we could have read out there and told a whole state of whatever up. I'm not calling no state because it is what it is.
Right.
For what?
Right.
It won't bring him back. I could hate police and I'm scared of them still, but I don't hate them.
Okay.
I know there's some good ones had nothing to do with these certain acts of crime, but people do certain things, Devin, and it makes others on the outside don't trust the Paul or they self even, because you don't know how you're going to react to certain situations.
Right. Well, 12, I was going to say that particularly in Chicago, there was a former police superintendent who was just charged. And I understand he was convicted for his involvement in extracting confessions illegally. Right.
Killing people, kids, and that like they supposed to pay for it. And other police had to pay for what they've done.
Yeah. So 12, that's one thing. And then there is the other thing where particularly in African-American neighborhoods where there's a need for safety and security and law enforcement, they're not getting it now because
they're scared. They done scared them off.
Well, here's what St. Louis is saying. Here's what they're most afraid of. They're not afraid to do their job. They've been doing it, many of them. They're afraid that their bosses, mayors, and district attorneys are going to create a situation where they get caught up, they get killed, or they're arrested, or they lose their job and their livelihood.
And they got now, families just like everybody else.
What that does is put everybody else that live in those communities in jeopardy of harm.
True.
So you don't need public officials creating policies that cause them not to be able to keep the public safe. That's their primary duty, is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what St. Louis is trying to say. I don't want to speak for him.
Well, St. Louis, I'm sorry if I lashed out, but certain things.
No.
When I hear it, I just react to certain things. I try to most of the time think, but Okay, I'm listening.
All right. St. Louis, did you want to comment that? We kind of took the floor from you there.
No,
I'm
going
to listen to him. I'm listening.
Okay. All right, St. Louis. Well, Pastor Wally, you still there, sir? He probably muted his phone.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, good deal. Anything you want to say in regards to what we're really talking? We're talking from conducting race relations in America and the pro action. We're talking about things that individuals can do to prevent and change and avoid certain circumstances. When you're busy, crime has little. You have little room for crime, and you reduce the chances of it becoming something that you're engaged in or something that you're victim of when you find yourself busy doing certain things. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone can't be a victim at any time. However, you can modify and control a lot of that. So that's what we're talking about tonight on this July 15, 2021. Pastor, did you want to say anything else there, sir?
Well, I've been out on the street for a little over a month now. Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And there haven't been no shooting. And, just humbly say that. It's a possibility that because of my presence out there, maybe they've learned to respect that somebody care. Or someone may think, oh, it's a coincidence that no one has gotten shot.
Mm-hmm.
But some other things that are going on. So I just desire to do all I can do to keep the peace, you know, something that's necessary. And I feel the necessary belief to say that it's not impossible for some of those things to be corrected in spite of what shit it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're still human. And when I say they're human, that means that if somebody showed that they care in such a way and be out there constantly, not just when something happens to get on the news. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about making it known, making your presence known. And that,
right.
You know, and I'm going to say this right here, in spite of, you know, there are times when the police will come and things are too peaceful, they'll come and try to start something. I mean, that happened just the other day. You know, I celebrated my birthday in the streets with the community.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. And they shut the streets down, you know, and that was a really good thing. And so by being so peaceful, the police had to come down in the very end. We're almost finished now. It's like you're just sitting there just socializing and all of a sudden, you come to police down there. Look at it. That's a tough one there. But anyway, they got a call. See, the first thing about that is just when they say they got a call for what? I mean, what, you want to get out on the street and dance? Is that the kind of call you got? Because that's the only thing that's happening down here. And I didn't say that in an arrogant way. I just said, you know, say you got a call. I thought maybe you come out here and want to join in. You know, sometimes police want to get involved and let it be known that they're part of the peace. Throw a football. I mean, it was too dark to do that, but the dancing or something like that was going on. So, did nobody call them to say there was nothing wrong happening? So, why did they come down here and say that? Somebody gave them an instruction. And just sometimes it go like that. But again, you know, I don't want to put too much out there when it come down to what was said and how it went. But
yes,
just
sir.
Know, I know that they will, when it's too much peace, there's a lot of room for destruction to take place from the time that the event took place. But being that it didn't take place at the starting point in the middle, well, it seems like it's getting ready to end now. So let me go down there and make it seem like something happened. That kind of stuff, man, is a sad thing, but it happens like that. And, you know, and again, it just happens like that sometimes. Like, too okay. much peace when they're not expecting that kind of peace, because usually there's no way that they can have this kind of peace out here like that with all these people. And you know, I just wanted to share that, man. You know, it's amazing that things like that still occur, even when you have been given the okay to be there.
Okay.
You know, you have had, you paid to have the street blocked off for that substantial amount of time. And it was a beautiful mm-hmm. thing for the community to recognize that we can do something like this and be able to walk in peace for that many hours. And
yeah.
I just would like to
okay.
share that with you to let you know, man, you know, change is possible. It can be applied. And, you know, people that's hurting out there need to see somebody out there sometime that care.
Sure do.
Even in Chicago.
Sure do. Genuinely cares. You're not criticizing
yeah.
us, but the kids is going crazy. Young folks are doing so much that is,
oh, yeah.
is so disruptive to the neighborhood and their lives that they don't need. It's like a habit form of life for them. It don't matter. They had a gang here called pastors and listeners that was called No Love.
Mm.
No Love.
No Love.
No Love. I'm thinking, what is really going on? I'm hearing about these acts of crime. Even as they, I know I get carried away sometimes because my heart is heavy right now. There's so much going on.
Okay.
That
right.
is so sad, because what I do know is this world coming to a closure as we know it. Everything
okay.
soaking up is coming to light, so you better be ready however you live your life.
Okay. Okay.
And
yeah,
I ain't trying to nobody. I'm just telling you how I feel about it. It's so
gotcha.
Sad, and they're doing these senseless murders. Like y'all said, they used to fight, whoop each other behind and get through it. Next day, you looking at them like, really? What was y'all fighting about?
Right. That day
what
is gone.
What was you even? Now they ain't even got the nerve to even ball their fists up, as old boy said, and throw a punch. You got to shoot to kill somebody. I seen on news a 17-year-old boy. It could have been somebody's husband one day, but he won't now. He'll be somebody's wife in penitentiary. Got 55 years.
Mm.
Killed a 14-year-old little baby.
And
he's a baby himself.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Well, it's horrible, and it's unruly, it's ungodly, and it don't make sense to me. But all these problems out here is not mine to solve. I'm dealing on me some me now.
Well, so,
8112. I was going to say 8112, if you don't mind. I like what you were saying. And then what happened at that event, the
yes,
kind
sir.
Of people that was up there, the kind of people that came,
yes,
was
sir.
Those kind of people that one may say they would be afraid of. They were so peaceful. They didn't bring forth no harm.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about some people that you would have automatically thought would have started something. Would have started something real quick, and they did not do anything but respect what was going on, and that was amazing to see that. See, when I invited people, I invited the good and the bad.
Yeah,
that's what I did, and I sent the word out for all for the good and the bad to come by, and that's what was going on, and so that tell me that it can be done, peace can be presented, it can be carried out, and you know, it's something worth giving God his props concerning that.
Sure. And that's a good report, Pastor. That's a good report.
So be encouraged. Be encouraged.
Absolutely. The challenge is being able to replicate that in more places. That's the challenge. And I don't think that's a challenge that's not worthy of taking on. But, wow, look at our time. We've got about 9 minutes before we cut out of here. We've been talking from the topic, somewhat of continuation from Tuesday, how to conduct race relations. And what we've been focusing on this part, too, is really proaction, the person. And I want to reiterate for our young folks, when you engage yourself in proactive activities and measures, some things that can produce them for you, you have the best chance of not being caught up, being angry, and losing out. I do appreciate when a young person who got energy, that got talent and imagination feel as though my hands are tied and I'm restricted from being able to use that. I get that. That's a little concern. And so what we were trying to do tonight is really talk about the ways you can do that. I promise to later offer some other government resources, some private business resources, and other things that are available for young folks to take advantage of. But tonight we were just kind of extending on that and opening the door to finishing that. Let's go around and take a final thought from everybody. We just got a few of us online here. St. Louis, you want to start us out, and then we'll roll out of here and get out of here for a minute.
Well, it's a shame the way that these police have been handcuffed, where they can't do the job like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. People suffer.
Yeah.
Criminals out here acting toward individuals, killing them for no reason whatsoever, just to be killed. Raping girls. And other things. Things seem low. I don't know what happened. But at some time, people are going to flee and going to draw a line in the sand. And when you cross that line, all is going to break.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, man, you got work to do. You got work to do. That's
so you take care of yourself. See you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you there. All right, 12, final thought there, man.
I mean, y'all so therapeutic for me. I don't even know how to explain you and Pastor Wilder and anybody else with their information. I appreciate that. And sometimes people going through a lot of things that they don't share with others. But your radio station speaks for itself, and I love it. And I thank you for having me again.
Always happy to have you, and we appreciate you as well. I think Pastor Waller would agree with me on that. That we
thank you so much, you guys.
Oh yeah,
your voice and your voice. So, all right. Well, Pastor Waller,
always be encouraging.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're gonna turn it over to you, Pastor. Take us home for tonight.
Hey, Pastor Doc, I always have said, put God first. Until he's placed first, then everything else brings forth the confusion because the opinions start to flow. And the words say, how long will you halt between two opinions? So when you put it all together and stir up the gifts, be on one accord, follow your lead because you're the host of the show and you're open. You allow people to have comments, to make statements and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes back to what the host of the show put out there. And if a person knows something about it, they can speak on it. And if they don't, you still allow them to be able to talk. So that's a beautiful thing. And that's why I say, stir up the gifts. See, if we utilize what we have to offer as gifts, when you stir it up, we all be on one accord. But until then, we will exclude God in such a way that would cause us to be able to walk in confusion. And you know, Pastor Doctor, with me, I've always shared this, that I don't trust me. And I make myself aware that each and every day, because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But I like the part where it said, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him.
And what will he
share? Direct your path. How many of you know we need to let him direct our path so we'll be all right? Amen. I'll yield back to you on that note.
All right. Yes, sir. Well, that's apropos to the By the Clouds of Joy. They say, order my steps in your word.
Yes, sir.
God, good things all the time. And all the time, God.